Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Hello, 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 my rutabagas in training. This is Garbled Twistery, and you are now present for yet another riveting in-between election episode. What fresh news poison are we gonna sample on this 1830s day? Well, let's check on the music industry. There's a rumbling going on. Some lady wrote some song that's just crushing the Billboard Top 50 charts. The name of the song? Mary and the Mammal by the Josepha Hill Gang. Who was the poet? Sarah Josepha Bell Hill. And why does her album just slap so needlessly hard? Well,
Hale was born in New Hampshire in 1788. And was much better educated than the average woman of the time, thanks to her parents' egalitarian views on education. She turned to writing poetry as a way to support herself and her five children after her lawyer husband passed away.
Yeah, Sarah's poem slaps not only because she was out here reading the books that they were reserving for the patriarchy at the library, but because the love of her life is dead, and doggone it, her songwriting better be good because she has five kids and there are bills to pay. Oh. Yeah, and that wasn't me. That was Moxie. She has a podcast titled Your Brain on Facts, and she's stopping by to drop some hard knowledge about
Mary's Mammal.
Say hi to Moxie, everyone.
Hi.
Well, how golden. Anyways, Mary decided to just casually give herself a college education in her house, mostly on her own, with a little help from her mother and her brother, you know, for kicks. And then Lady Josepha grew up and became a whole school teacher. She taught a bunch of boys and girls. There were girls in there. It's the 1800s and the girls in this here town were sitting around doing laundry all day. No, they weren't. They were at school with the boys. Josepha, you rebel. Anyways, rumor has it, Sarah Josepha was getting ready for class one day, and her student Mary Sawyer showed up to class with an entire mammal. She just strolled her hairy mammal into the classroom like it was show and tell. And obviously everyone lost their freaking 1800s minds. Josepha was like, quote,
"Mary, sheep are dumb as hell,"
unquote. Obviously, the hairy animal had to wait outside all day, and well, the little lamb did wait all day.
It's also not uncommon for sheep to reject lambs, so they end up having to be bottle-fed. As anyone who has bottle-raised a foster animal knows, they become very attached to you after that.
So that explains the potential inspiration Sarah got for that particular poem in the children's slam poetry album she's gonna drop in 1830. But a whole lot happened in her life before the album. What do I mean by a lot? I mean one of the first women to write a novel in the US a lot. I mean one of the first novelists ever to even write about how stupid this whole enslavement thing is a lot. And yeah, that was a New York Times bestseller. This woman college educated herself. Of course it is. Lady Josepha literally moves to Boston and becomes a whole journalist before she drops her slam poetry album. And I can't for the life of me understand how some random Mary thinks she can just come forward and be all like, quote, "I am the Mary, I had the little lamb, that poem was written by a boy in my class on that fateful day," unquote. Like, she can't even back it up. Lady Josepha was, like, clearly overqualified for children's literature, but had to pay some bills. Like, why is there even a controversy about this? I'm getting ahead of myself. And ahead of my time restraint, I just showed up to talk about 1830. Luckily, the host of the podcast Your Brain on Facts is here to explain the convoluted mess of shenanigans that occurred post-1830. Take it away, Moxie.
Thanks, Rafik, for having me on today. Hello, gentle listener. This is Moxie LaBouche from Your Brain on Facts. A 9-year-old girl named Mary Sawyer was taking care of an orphan lamb who followed her to school one day. This took place at the Redstone Schoolhouse in Sterling, Massachusetts. According to Sawyer, that same day, a 10-year-old classmate, John Rolston, slipped her a piece of paper on which he had written a little poem about her lamb. No evidence exists of this inverted commas, original poem, though Sawyer told all of her friends and family about it at some point. So Sawyer would have been 24 in 1830 when Hale first published Poems for Our Children. At some time after that, Sawyer read the poem and thought it must be about her and her lamb, since her name was Mary, despite how many Marys there must be walking around New England in the 1830s. And if it's about her, then the poem must have been written by John Rolston. We don't know when exactly Sawyer saw the poem, because she didn't start bragging or claiming that it was about her until her late 60s. At the age of 70, she participated in a fundraiser to save Boston's Old South Meeting House, which had been damaged by the Great Boston Fire in 1872. She sold little autographed cards tied with a piece of old sock yarn to support the renovation. Why would anyone buy that? Well, the cards were being sold by the supposed Mary of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and the yarn was from that famous lamb's wool. Now, this was many, many years later, and sheep only lived to be like 10 or 12 years old, so Sawyer explained that she had had two socks knitted from the wool of that particular lamb that she was dismantling and taking apart piece by piece to add to the commemorative cards. Now, Sawyer tried to prove that Rolston had written the poem about her by writing it from memory in her own hand in 1883, but by that time, the poem had been out in the world for so long, basically everybody could write it from memory. But the story takes an unexpected twist when Henry Ford gets involved. Yeah, Henry Ford, the car guy, and cough, anti-Semite. He owned the Wayside Inn in Sudbury, Massachusetts. When the Redstone Schoolhouse closed in 1856, it was used as a garage and a barn and just a general multi-purpose building. In 1926, almost 40 years after Sawyer's death, Ford purchased the cornerstone, some of the foundation, and what remained of the frame from this barn and incorporated those into the schoolhouse he built in Sudbury. He used the schoolhouse as an attraction at the Wayside Inn, claiming that it was the very school to which the lamb followed Mary. To support his claim, he put up a bronze plaque that did infer that, okay, maybe this wasn't exactly the original schoolhouse, but it had parts of the original schoolhouse. Ford even put out a book about it, further embellishing Sawyer's story. Because you gotta say one thing about Ford. He was good when it came to promotion. But how did he account for the story getting from Sawyer to Hale? According to Ford's book, the lost poem by Rolston in its entirety traveled by word of mouth from Stirling, Massachusetts to Newport, New Hampshire from 1815 to 1830, which seems like a bit of a stretch. Not discounting word of mouth or oral history in anything, just seems kind of unlikely. Ford says that the two towns are close to each other when they're actually 90 miles apart, which back in the early part of the 19th century might as well be another country. We know there were no electronic forms of communication, but at the time the postal service was still rudimentary and not universal. Local papers would print poems and writings by citizens, but there is no evidence of a poem written by Rolston at that time anywhere in print. So while it would have made for a good human interest story, the kind of fluff piece that goes at the very end of the news broadcast, to actually meet the Mary from Mary Had a Little Lamb, that wasn't her. There is no evidence to suggest the poem came from anywhere other than the mind of Sarah Josepha Hale. Thanks again, Rafiq, for letting me natter at your listeners. If they've enjoyed these facts and the sound of my voice, they can check out Your Brain on Facts on their favorite podcast player or yourbrainonfacts.com. If they want the facts without having to listen to me, they can always get the Your Brain on Facts book.
Thanks a ton, Moxie. That is some wild knowledge you dropped there. And thus ends the story of Mary, her mammal, and the crazy Josepha who topped the Billboard charts. Oh, and I'm telling you, we probably haven't heard the last of Sarah Josepha Hill. No siree. Not with Thanksgiving being a national holiday and that fact being mostly her fault. Yeah, there's a chance we'll get into that insane story another day. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the traveling circus, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. Want to hear the history behind Spider-Man? Head over there. Anyways, next time, the enslaved people have had enough, and they believe the Lord is on their side, too.
You'll likely be able to catch a sneak peek of that episode's content on Moxie's podcast, Your Brain on Facts.
See you next time!
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
She has 5 kids and there are bills to pay.